Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Thank you to our sponsors, Jason Lavon, Judo TV, Fuji Sports. Thank you very much. You guys could sponsor us, too.
Yeah. Join us on Patreon. Yep. Sponsor us how much ever you can. And that's how we can keep doing this. I know I've heard a lot that people are listening to our episodes on the way to their gym just to get pumped up. I'm so happy to hear that. You know,
it's thank you, Ryan.
Yeah. I'm so glad. Yeah. I'm so happy that we get to be part of your, you know, martial arts journey, however it is. You know?
I love it. I love it. So today it's kind of like I want to give away a little bit more. I've been giving away judo instructionals and information on YouTube forever, but really how to like grow your gym. Right.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, you don't own a gym, but this still could be for you, because if your gym grows, you have more partners to train with. You could be more selective with who to go with. So it really benefits everyone. Right. And the more people are in the gym, I'm not just specifically talking judo, BJJ also, but more so judo, because judo, let's face it, it's kind of dying in the United States.
Yeah. That's what a controversial, quote unquote, a statement made by Jimmy in our previous episode. I think people were disagreeing or agreeing to that point, but I think that it's good. We need to talk about it. I think it's better to just face it as it is and instead of trying to paint a rosy picture. It is not doing well, you know?
So especially in the United States, it's hard to teach. It's really hard on the body. And some of my main takeaways, if you guys haven't heard, Jimmy Pedro was on for 3 episodes. And the very last one, he was talking about how bad judo actually is in the United States right now in terms of straight numbers, right?
Yeah.
He was saying it's like 1/10 of the BJJ population. Yeah. And, you know, jiu-jitsu is great, right? Don't get me wrong. But judo is just on a steady downward decline this whole time. So how do we grow it, right?
Yeah.
Is the number one thing, you know? And we're going to talk a little bit about that, right?
Right.
And then different ideas on what we can do today, right now.
So, all right. So let's jump right into it. So what will be the first thing? So we'll like contextualize better. You're in the middle America. Yep. Maybe there's one gym in the county.
One gym in the county,
And there's like maybe 5 regulars. Every practice gets like maybe 10 people, you know, 2 black belts maybe. Beginner's rest.
Yeah.
You are one of the ambitious brown belts. You want to make it. Go to tournaments. You want to be able. Okay. So how do we... Let's start with that. Let's put that picture in our mind, and then what would you do if you're in this?
Foremost, right? If you're in the middle of nowhere and you have one dojo, the responsibility is on that owner, the person who owns that gym, right? And yes, that person may have a day job, et cetera, but that person's number one role is to fill the room.
Yeah.
How do they do that, right? Google AdWords, Facebook ads, getting the word out, marketing, putting stuff on social media. And, you know, people talk like, oh, Facebook ads don't work, or this ad doesn't work, or Google costs so much. Yes, right? But it's a combination of all the different strategies. Mm. Because soft touches matter, right? They go Google judo in my neighborhood. They see your website. They go to it, okay? They see it. They don't sign up. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
And now there's retargeting ads that target you. Later, when you're on Google and you see that gym again, oh, very cool. You click on it, you interact with it, and now all of a sudden you could serve that same person Facebook ads, Instagram ads, and now you go to their page and then you see the ads, you know, on your feed all the time. You click through. Now all of a sudden you follow that page because that page, there's value to that page. They're showing technique. They're having seminars, whatever. There's pictures of the room. So now it makes it easier to connect to that gym.
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe you get, you know, you're driving by, you see a billboard or something. You know what? 6 or 7 soft touches. Maybe I'll take a look. Right?
So a little every so like nudge counts.
So that's marketing. You know, that's marketing, right? Yeah. So you have to be able to do that. And obviously, you could go down the rabbit hole and do all these different things. But I think first and foremost, easy to do, website. Website, social media, those two things are free. Not free, but like very, very low.
Very cheap. Guys, you know.
Yeah.
Nowadays, so easy to put together a nice looking website. You can do it all yourself. Just go to Squarespace. We're not sponsored by Squarespace or anything.
No,
one of those, one of those website builders, you can put together a slick website. Just use one of their templates. Pay 20 bucks or something, you know?
Yep.
You need that.
When someone reaches out to me to do a seminar at their gym and I can't Google it and find it, I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And then you see like a link on Facebook because they have a Facebook business page or something. It's just so difficult to like, it doesn't make me feel like it's a legitimate gym for me to like pick a date and then go visit. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's hard for me to put that on the calendar because what if I show up and there's no gym?
Yeah, well, it's like a club.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of friends, you know.
Yep. I've seen Jim reach out. There's three different addresses. Yeah. It's like, which one is it? Is it a franchise?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you look at the pictures and all these different things you can do, you know, and you have to kind of have a business mind. And that's really the hardest part, really, right?
Right.
You get
good
at judo or jiu-jitsu, you want to open up your gym, but you have no experience in business whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right.
You went to school for like education and all a business school too, so you have different expertise other than judo too. But how would you actually recommend judo gym owners in general to learn all these things? Like, is it just a matter of like sitting down and actually being motivated enough to read through things and then do it, or is there anything they could do to kind of speed up that process?
I mean, I think everybody belongs to a gym in some way, right? We all go to the gym, we all go take classes, and it's just literally almost market research. You know, I take classes at Equinox sometimes,
right.
I take ballet class, right. I go to this class, I go to do jiu-jitsu at this gym, and I'm always seeing and interacting and asking questions. Hey, what kind of software are you using to run the gym? Do you mind sharing this information with me? What kind of marketing strategies do you have? So I'm always talking and networking with people, and then people are very, very open with me. They'll always share the information with me, right? And not because I want to, like, you know, people trust me in so many ways because they feel like there's a familiarity with seeing me all the time on the YouTube and all this stuff, right? But that's the best way to, I think, learn in the industry. Yes, there's courses about how to run a martial arts school gyms, and some of these subscriptions, like, cost thousands of dollars a month, you know? Especially the Taekwondo guys. They have, like, business mastery seminars. Gracie has a business mastery freaking course, you know? So you could take one of those courses, and I think, if you have zero experience...
Probably better than nothing. Yeah.
Better than nothing. You don't have to buy into their franchisee thing or whatever they're selling, but it's good information straight up. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. I mean, we've talked about this throughout all of our podcasts, but taking, like, you have to see that judo, you can't put judo on the pedestal. It is, to a layman's eye, judo is just one of many, many activities that you could do.
Yes.
They could do, go and take golf, tennis, swim, racquetball, pickleball, whatever, but there's judo. That means you're actually competing with other physical activities.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why you need to view it that way. And then you need to go how others do, you know, these cycling classes, the spinning classes, they kill it, right?
Kill it. Crush it.
Dude, good. My wife just got a Peloton and I've been doing it.
Of course you did, Peter.
These Peloton instructors, man, they're so good.
They're good.
They're
stutter. They're in shape. They master.
Guys, you have to try. Yeah. Like, I think it's like, just watch a video of Peloton. Don't look down on them. They're amazing. Yeah. They can talk. They can select the right music. They structure their workout with their own character.
Yeah.
With their music choice, they motivate you. You feel so good.
Yeah.
You want to push yourself. You know, that's. Judo has to be that way too.
Yeah. And there has to be money involved because capitalism, that's what happens, right? Because of capitalism, we invest in R&D and develop new drugs, and it goes through phase one, phase two trials. And then, you know, maybe we'll make some money back, and there's competition between the pharmaceutical companies to innovate and create, you know? So judo too, man, if there's more money in the pot for people to have, right?
Yeah.
Then we can come up with new ideas and
take more risks and then try new ideas out we have some base that we can fall on.
And when you have a 200 person dojo, you could hire people. I have freaking 7-8 people on staff at my dojo alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One of them, which Greg Reagan, is in charge of social media, period. And he's doing a great job. And he's able to, right, make a living by teaching kids classes, doing privates, doing social media, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So then, he's there.
I've seen comments on your content nowadays, how professional it's gotten. It's thanks to Greg. You could actually put a full-time person on it, you know?
If I had a 30-person dojo and it was barely getting by, there's no way I could hire Greg
with
the skills that he has. There's just no way.
Right, right.
You know? So we live in a capitalistic society. Judo is not free anymore, right? We got to get rid of this mindset of like, hey, judo should be free. I'll never charge for judo. We don't do contracts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Things like this. You're committing your time, hard-earned time, and your skill that you've developed 20, 30 years, right?
Yeah.
You should take a commitment from somebody else. People shouldn't be able to walk in and then let me teach me some judo and walk out.
Yeah.
They shouldn't, yeah. You can't do that, right? They commit to you, you commit to them, right? And then call it a commitment. Don't call it a contract. People will hate this contract, right?
It's so give and take, people, yeah. Other gyms, other activities do that too, you know? They, my wife and I started taking golf lessons. They want to push for the package deal more than...
Package deal, yeah.
Yeah, just individual lessons. And you can tell, like, once you buy the package, your instructor pays more attention to you. Because you know that they know that they could take more time and then kind of go through the actual, like, process of it instead of just trying
and
to give you...
And you value it more.
Yeah, I value it more.
You value it more because you're paying more as opposed to if judo was free, why would you buy value that? I'll give you another example. I'm taking Yumi to skating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've been taking her skating. Whatever,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Yumi's mom's like, I want to take skating lessons. All right, whatever, you know? And then I'm talking to the lady like, hey, and then one of the ladies, really nice lady, she's like, hey, you know, I do skating privates and this and that. And I was like, huh, maybe I'll skate too. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So now that's in my head, right? And if I start skating and I purchase a 10-pack, now I'm obligated to go. And that takes time away from an activity like jiu-jitsu or judo that I also may be doing. But if I was paying $40 a month for judo, okay? Yeah. And if I'm paying $100 a session for skating for private lessons, I'm going to go to skating.
Yeah, of course.
Because I'm paying more.
Yeah.
Right? Because I value that more now. Wow, that must be a skill. This woman's a figure skating champion. She's really hot. I'm going to go there. Right?
So
you're competing against that. You know?
Yeah, it's not judo versus another local BJJ gym. You're competing against skating, golf, tennis, you know?
Zoc sports, co-ed, touch football league, all the nonsense that you and your tech friends
do. Yeah, I know. All the adult soccer leagues.
Chicken wing eating competitions that you had at App Nexus. It's like, Peter, where are you? I've got to do this thing with my team.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? But if you're paying $250 a month for judo, you're going to show up to judo.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're also locked in and committed for the next 6 months, paying $250 a month, you're going to try to build a skill during that time frame.
Right.
Right.
So we talked about just online presence and marketing, like at least having a good official website where the most up-to-date information is on. And then you can add on like your Instagram account, YouTube, whatever.
Yeah.
And now we talked a lot about the contract side. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, we haven't even gone into like the actual content of the class. It's more about the structure of the school right now. Do you think that infrastructure has to come first? Then what do you
think? Product is important, right?
Yeah.
And people are like, oh no, it's product driven or it's marketing driven or whatever it is. It's a spectrum, obviously, and all these things have to work together. There is a bare minimum good enough product that you could push.
Yeah.
Right.
You need to be able to teach judo. Basic,
a little bit,
yeah,
a little bit, right? You don't have to be a champion. You don't have to be a 5-time world champion. You don't even need to be a national champion.
Right.
You could just be a black belt, period, and have a successful program, right? I truly, truly believe this. You know, and people focus so much on the product or the judo or the whatever it is, the martial arts. I'm better than everybody. I win competition. Nobody gives a shit.
Right.
The average guy that's like, oh, I want to try something new. I want to learn something. Oh, I want to grapple. I hear like, oh, my friends are doing. I want to learn how self-defense, get in shape, all this stuff. The average person that's going to find your gym, that's going to walk through the doors, they're not going to care about whether you're a champion or you're a killer or your competitor.
Yeah.
They want to go to your Instagram, see you talk, and then see like, oh, what is this guy like? And then after they've seen my YouTube, Instagram, maybe they went to sign up for a trial, didn't show up for the thing, right? Listen to a podcast down the line. They kind of like have all these little soft touches over 3 to 4 or 5 months, right? So when they walk into the gym, they're like, oh, this is that gym from the YouTube.
Mm.
And when I talk to, hey, what's going on? If I was in a good mood and if I decide to interact with this person, it's very familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
People walk into the gym every day. It's like, oh, you do that podcast with Peter.
Yeah.
Peter, you. People know you by name.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, that familiarity is what people are sort of looking for, because going somewhere new for the first time, you've never seen it, you don't know what it's like in there, very intimidating. Yeah.
I think
even taking my kid to skating for the first time, I don't know where it is. Do they have parking? Will there be someone greeting me? I have no clue. I walk in. No one knew, like, where to guide me. I had nowhere to go, right?
Uh-huh.
I was asking one of the parents who was trying to put the skates on, and she was like, get away from me, right? I have to, like, walk around and find the person. I was like, you work here? You work here? You work here? And finally, somebody works there. It's like, I'll check you in.
That's a bad example.
That's a bad example, right?
Yeah.
But maybe if they had an Instagram, I could log on and see what the facilities are like and the check-in thing is like. And I corresponded with someone who actually works there and then told me, hey, when you get there, do X, Y, and Z. Now it's like, oh, I just got to show up. Is there parking? Yes, there's parking. Oh, I'll just drive there and freaking park.
Yeah, yeah.
Done, right? And then once I get there for the first time, it's very easy to go to the second time, especially if I had a good experience, right? And just kind of keep parlaying that and then pushing it down the road. Now all of a sudden, they're trying to sell me a 10 pack of privates.
And you think this is a point
which I'm close to buying.
Yeah. You know, skating's fun. Skating's fun.
Dude, I'm two phone calls away from being like, all right, let's do it.
All these soft nudges have worked on you. You know?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, sort of, right?
Yeah.
Being there, my kid having a great experience with that teacher, and the teacher taking time out and talking to me, and then the director showing up and then having a conversation with me, it really helped, right?
Yeah.
And it was weird because Yumi didn't want to go out there by herself, so I went out there with her, not during a parent and me class, but the regular kids class.
Oh.
So I was the one crazy parent out there on skates with the kids. So that like drew some attention, so the teachers came over like, yo, what are you doing on the ice?
Yeah.
And then I kind of like, oh, my kid, this. I thought it was a parent of me. I'm making up a class, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, fine. And then so 2 weeks in a row, they let me in that class.
Oh, okay.
Which is weird, but they put me on another level, right?
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, now, oh, hey, what's up, man? Like, you want to do that private with the lady? And, you know, they call me right now, right, today. They're like, hey, you know, I remember you were interested. Do you want to buy a 10-pack of – you want to just come in for a free private lesson and see where – you know?
Yeah.
Bro, they have me. They got me.
Yeah.
You know? But they won't. They won't.
Yeah. Because it's a bad example.
And then the longer I take time away – now, this Friday, I'm not going.
Yeah.
I'm going to the dojo instead because I got to cover somebody else, right?
Yeah.
Now, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. Ice,
you know, and the longer I'm away from that, the more I'm like, I don't need fucking take ice skating lessons.
Yeah. So this is
how much was it again? Right now it's like, how much was it again? Oh, it's fucking right this much for a 10.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not paying that. No, thank you. Right, you gotta like strike while the iron's hot. They could have sold me like 3 times.
Yeah.
You know.
So this marketing strategy infrastructure needs to be in place, and I think the content,
answering phone calls, emails, all the stuff. Yeah.
The content, like actual judo class. You know, if you think about it, if you take a golf lesson from a local teacher, most of the time they're not a PGA pro. PGA pros are so expensive anyway to like teaching pros. So
they're not great teachers either sometimes.
Yeah. And but people still go, like, golf is one of those sports where even if you're not a top athlete, you can still make a good living just teaching, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the point, like that Jimmy also mentioned during your conversation, like, it shouldn't be that hard to become a judo teacher.
No.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't, most people, again, we're competing against other just regular physical activities.
Yeah.
Of course, it needs to be safe and everything, but most people are not coming through the door trying to become an Olympian. They don't need to go through they're 90% of the people are not even going to compete. More than that, probably.
Yeah. 95%.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
And so, like, but then I feel like now I can already see the comments like, oh, you're diluting the quality of judo, yada, yada, yada. And I think it also goes on to another criticism I saw, like, because Jimmy mentioned that, oh, I don't think beginners should do randori until 2 years.
2 years. That blew my mind. That blew my mind. 2 years, right? You shouldn't do randori.
So is that too long? Are we diluting judo? Like, I think there's a lot of gatekeeping going on, which is detrimental to the growth of the sport. So what are your thoughts? I just threw a lot onto you, but hopefully we can find some common theme here.
Obviously, I don't think everyone has to wait 2 years to do randori.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case, right?
I don't think that's what Jimmy really mentioned, was trying to say either. Yeah.
Randori should be an option.
Yeah.
Randori should be an option, right? It should never be forced upon, and everybody that walks into the gym should have a dedicated beginner class to do comfortably. And this is coming from someone who ran a mixed class forever and ignored basically the beginners because I wanted to teach what I wanted to teach. That's just kind of what I am and who I am, right? And it's wrong. That's the wrong way. You need a dedicated beginner class, and yes, you'll have two or three guys, and it sucks for 6 months. But as long as you're marketing and pushing it and getting on the phone calls and getting people through the door, that class will grow.
Yeah.
And that class should be, right, not the teacher, the judo teacher, the sensei, or the professor rambling for 45 minutes straight. It should be 1 hour, like every freaking business.
Yeah.
You go to Starbucks, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah. This right? class has to always run.
It's got to be consistent.
Yeah.
It's got to, you have to have a certain level, right,
that yeah.
people expect, and you have to deliver it.
Yeah.
I go to Starbucks, get an espresso, tastes the same every single time.
Everywhere in the world.
Everywhere in the world. I'm not saying try to be a Starbucks, right? But each class has to be 1 hour.
Yeah.
If I want to go in and get an exercise, get a workout in, I get a workout in.
Yeah.
Okay? Most people want to learn skills, so you have to learn something, right? Yeah. But it's a combination of skill and exercise.
Yeah.
I want to learn something, I want to get in shape, right? I don't want to feel danger. I don't want to be scared. I don't want to get slammed in my head.
Yeah.
I don't want to be doing 20 minutes of breakfall straight.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to learn a little bit of breakfalls. We don't need a long, drawn-out 20-minute warm-up anymore. We don't need that.
No. Right?
Come in. One of the games that you potentially do is the warm-up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have 1 hour, beginners only. Run that shit consistently, Monday through Friday. Guy comes 4 times, 5 times a week. That's sticky.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It becomes a thing now in their life. What do you do on Monday nights? I go to judo Monday nights, right? Oh, do you want to go on a date with me? No, Monday, Thursday, Friday is all famous. I do judo on those days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's randori. And sometimes then it's crazy. Then it's really up to me how I feel that day, whether I want to be up by chance. But if I know exactly, all I have to do is get up off my ass and walk through those doors. And I know it's going to be a freaking 5-minute warm-up drill. I'll learn something. I'll exercise. I'll do these 3-person drills, whatever it is. And then push up to the end. Then fine, I'm done for the day. I got my workout in. I have my friends there. I go out to eat afterwards. And that's consistently Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You've got me.
That's what all these spinning classes do so well. You can show up to any class.
Yes.
Any instructor, anytime. You know what you'll get.
You're getting. And you can push yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still within the same range, right? I've seen judo classes. There's like guys rambling for 40 minutes. Guys doing a 20-minute warm-up. Sometimes it starts on time. Sometimes it ends. Like whatever it is. Sometimes like class starts, it already started, like the teacher has to wave you, and sometimes they're like, no, you sit on the side and kneel for freaking 20 minutes before I let you on the mat. Man.
Yeah.
Bullshit, dude, bullshit. And then we're doing randori and I get paired up with some big stinky guy that's gonna hurt me. Why would anybody want to do that? It's a horrible service, a horrible product, right?
And this again,
so we need to fix this.
Yeah. It's not diluting the sport by doing this, because you attract a lot of beginners, they're just casual. Every sport has that.
Yeah.
You know, you think every casual soccer player goes out and plays 11v11 games? No.
No.
They might just want to go kick some balls around.
Yeah.
But out of those, if you have that base, you can start funneling the more dedicated people, like, amateurs that want to compete more locally. And then on top of that, you can get national players and, if that's what you want for your gym. But you need this consistent base.
Yeah. And once those people have been through that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Is it hard judo coming in, doing real randori? No, it's not. Right? But doing that from the onset will create bad habits.
Yeah.
You'll be stiff. You'll be defensive. You'll only do things that work for you. And then you'll never take risks. Osoto heart, Osoto Makumi works for me. I'm just going to keep spamming. Never learn to like fight out of bad positions, defend certain things, get in Georgian A, Georgian B because you're not comfortable in it. So you have a very one-dimensional judo, and that's what happens, right? You have a couple of guys, 3 or 4 guys that are big, strong, do a certain type of throw that could beat everyone in the gym, and then it's very, very bottom light. Like it's top heavy, bottom light. Right? You get 3 or 4 big guys, and then like 5 or 6 stragglers and 1 or 2 beginners. You get a 10 to 20 person show up per class. You do it twice a week, that's it. That's most gyms.
Mm-hmm.
Judo, right? Yeah. So we have to fix that, you know? And if you can't quite dedicate yourself to full-blown doing a judo program on your own, go to a jiu-jitsu school and say, hey, can I teach here judo twice a week?
Yeah.
That's the way to grow now, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately,
jiu-jitsu schools and then riding their coattails. No longer is jiu-jitsu riding the coattails of judo. Now it's the reverse. Judo people have to ride the coattails of the BJJ guys, and people are going to go nuts.
BJJ schools already have this infrastructure, most of them.
Most of it, right? Yeah. They have a front desk person, dedicated people who are just there day and night. People make careers out of jiu-jitsu. If you phone call in, they will pick up the phone call. They will respond to your phone calls. You could email them. They have a CRM system. They do advertising. They're on social media, all this stuff. And all you have to do as a judoka is go there and show up and teach twice a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Build a judo program there. And I'm not saying like go branch off and start your own gym and compete with these guys. I'm not saying that, right?
Yeah.
But that's the way to grow judo in the United States right now. Because jiu-jitsu is so much more popular and they have so much more money, right? Mm. And we have to find that sort of middle ground. U.S. judo is very focused on creating like competitors and they do this and that. Yeah. We need to grow the base of judo. The people who are just doing judo, period, you know?
I mean, we're not trying to hear shit on USA Judo. Right? Their goal, they're part of the Olympic whole committee, right? So that it has to be their goal. Their goal is to grow athletes.
Yeah.
And they have only a limited amount of resources, so they have to dedicate that. But us as grassroots practitioners have to try to grow the base, the foundation.
Yeah.
So. Yes. All right, so let's look back into this hypothetical judo gym. One judo gym, middle America, one gym in the county. So now you set up the website. You have you have people coming in. You do the whole like hit it while it's hot. You have the consistent beginner class that draws people in. So what do you do then? Like, do you try to grow more athletes there? Like, is it just a matter of like operationalizing it and hiring more people?
Yeah, I think just adding classes, right? Yeah. So now all of a sudden you started with three times a week. You shared the gym with like some Taekwondo gym or whatever it is. Now all of a sudden you have enough people to support these classes. You have 20 beginners in each class.
Yeah.
Maybe now you have an intermediate class. Some of those guys graduate up. It's like, all right, yellow belts and above could be in this class. And in this class, we'll do X, Y, and Z, more gripping, more Nawaza Randori, more all these things, right? So now there's a clear path. People join and they know what to get and they know what the progression is, right?
Yeah.
Coming from a guy that has a gym that doesn't do any of this stuff, by the way, right? I just know the theory behind it. I mean, it works for me because I'm in New York City and all. It's a different...
New York City is a different market because there's so many...
Yeah, it's a different market.
There's so many more judo people just because of the immigration population, and then it's a lot more dense, right? So it's easier to find people. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So I think you just got to grow and then you got to add more classes.
Yeah.
You just got to add more classes.
Like every day. Those classes
every day. And before you know it, man, you look at those retention. Retention's good. Let's just say you have 20 new students a month, right? Mm. And maybe you have a bleed rate. Four guys quit. They move. They get injured. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
So now you're like net, let's just say 15 a month. And then you're adding 15 new students that stay every month, every month, every month. And now all of a sudden, 10 months go by, you have 150 new people.
Okay. Dude, that's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot, right? Now all of a sudden you have more money. You could hire people. You could put people in the instructor program or whatever it is, right? Now you have intermediate and advanced guys. People will take it on leadership roles and they become sort of advocates for the beginners. Hey, why don't you assist in the beginners program? Now all of a sudden you have a community, right?
Yeah.
People, you gotta teach the top guys though to talk a certain way and be nice to everybody, not be like the martial arts douchebag goon that we all, you know. Yeah. Know of, right? We don't know that guy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The arrogant guy that maybe, like, we don't need that shit, right? So the top person, that's top-down leadership. They have to like manage all those people. You know, now all of a sudden you have a thriving business, 300-person academy. Let's say you charge 200 a month. That's 60 grand a month.
Yeah.
That's 720,000 a year now that you have to play with, right? Yeah. Let's just say rent's 100 grand. That's even high for the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? It's probably much less. Now your margins are pretty good. Now you have $600,000 to play with. What are you going to do? Spend more ads, buy new mats,
hire more people,
hire a dedicated front staff, front desk, maybe put a massage parlor behind the dojo.
Nice shower.
Nice showers. There you go. Nice showers, right? Maybe yoga studio. I don't know. But now all of a sudden, you could do things with that money. You could leave your 9-to-5 and run that business, period, right?
Yeah.
And then once you have one of those, your students coming through that system, you have a couple black belts. I want to start my own gym.
Affiliate.
Great. Be my affiliate, right? Yeah. I give you my blessing. Don't be like that guy from back in the day. No, you'll never freaking, you'll stay in here. If you leave this gym, you're nobody to me. You're dead to me. No. Okay. You could start a gym. Just not too close to my gym, please, right? Yeah. Maybe we'll have an affiliation thing. I'll give you all my information, my curriculum, this, the things we use, how we do it. I'll show you everything, right?
Yeah.
I'll even give you my discount from Fuji Mats, right? Yeah. Let's work together. I have this side of the town. You go over there and we'll do like, you know, inter-dojo stuff. We'll have open mats on Tuesdays and you'll have open mats on Thursdays and our dojos could train together. Now, all of a sudden, you have a bigger community to like thrive off of, right?
And then, I mean, now then you can have like inter-dojo competition that could grow into a county competition, state, and then maybe that could be the hub for the state tournament.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of 300
person dojo, you could gross $1 million.
Yeah.
You could gross $1 million.
That's amazing if you actually do the math. Yeah.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden you have three dojos like that thriving off each other, and each one of those gym owners don't have the scarcity mindset of like, oh, nobody go to that gym or you're a trader or this, that, this. Now all of a sudden you have these people feeding into the local competition circuit.
Yeah.
Even though you're not pushing competition because we don't like competition for business, right?
Yeah.
But the people who want to have the option to. And if there's three dojos, 300 students each, right? There's going to be a small fraction of people that want to go out and do it. They could go out and do it.
I think that's the key point. Like I can already see people who say, oh, you're diluting. Why aren't you having people doing randori like 2 years too late, whatever. That's not the point.
No.
Like,
grow it at the base.
Base.
Grow the base.
And
right?
Then there will be people who want to, because we're not saying, oh, don't do randori ever.
Yeah.
We're not saying let's, you know, not compete ever. Like, out of this base, people who are more dedicated will choose to do it, and you just have to provide the opportunity.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, advanced class, quick one or two drills and then all randori or something, you know?
Yeah, that doesn't work for most people.
Yeah, it's just for those, once you have the enough, like big enough base, there will be enough people to run those classes, you know?
The tough guy sensei, right?
Yeah.
That wants this kind of a thing. I did it, I'm freaking tough. Yeah. You know, this is what people want and need. No, your target demographic is not you.
Yeah.
You're an exception.
It's a survivorship bias.
You have a survivor bias.
Yeah.
Oh, I did it. I competed. I trained 8 times a week and whatever it is. Yes.
How many people did you make quit? Like, you know?
How many people did you make quit? Oh, they were cut out for it.
Yeah.
Okay. And you were never cut out to make any money doing this. And you will forever be broke. And you could have the 20-person dojo where you're the king.
Yeah.
Of that 20-person dojo, and then you could not let guests in, and you could be the king of the room, and like, oh, if you go to this dojo, you're whatever, and you could be that guy, but no one wants to be that guy, really.
It's not good for the whole judo community.
It's not good for the community. It's not good for that guy too.
Yeah,
you know, that guy's living in fear. He's always worried, like, oh man, if this guy came in and beat my ass in front of everyone.
And then he probably blames the new BJJ gym down the street with nice showers.
Is everybody else to blame but yourself?
Yeah.
You know? So we all have to do our part and go in the gym.
Yeah.
Right? And then asking the students directly for referrals. Hey, you know, we want more people like you. You must have people at work that are like you.
Yeah.
You must hang out with friends that are like you, right?
Yeah.
If you're the cool guy, come to the dojo, you like working out, you're not hanging out with a bunch of losers. Yeah. You know, bring your friends to the dojo, right?
Yeah, and all that. When you do that, this is why it's so important. You're not competing against just BJJ. You're competing against golf, tennis, soccer, just drinking, you know?
Yeah, drinking, And you know what? Really? There is a little bit of competition, right? Because if I'm like, I want to go join a grappling gym in this area, judo, BJJ, near me. Whoever picks up the phone call first, whoever returns that phone call first, whoever returns that email first gets the business, period.
Yeah.
Because people are going to like, I'm going to shop around and, you know, it's not like buying a vacuum.
You shop around when you're at the level where like you've trained for a long time and you kind of know what to look for. But these people starting out, what do they even know? You know?
No, the first place that calls, because you do it right now. I want to buy ice skates.
Yeah.
Pop open all the different browsers and go through it.
Yeah.
Call. Ballet studio. I did it for my kid.
Yeah.
Ballet in my area. Scarsdale Ballet Studio. This studio. That studio. Ballet Studio B. You know, Central Park Dance. Like, all the different ballet studios are open. I'm calling each and every one of them. Which one's nice? Hey, do you have a kid's class? My kid's whatever years old. Can I come in and take a trial class? Yes, no, yes, no, no. This one didn't call me back. Dead. They call me back late at night. Like, oh, no. Hey, did you reach us? I'm like, we've already planned out. We already scheduled 2 trials. Sorry.
Could the, it's beginners, kids class, beginners class. What's the difference really? Like, how how much better can it be?
No. Yes. So, yes, right. There is some competing against the other gyms in the neighborhood, but really you're competing against Netflix, like you said, ice skating, drinking, hanging out. No. After a hard day of work, you're going to want to de-stress and unwind.
Yeah.
Sometimes those vices are beneficial, like sports and athletics and working out, and sometimes they're not so good.
Yeah.
You know, so you're competing with that, you know, and sometimes just coming home on a couch and just lying down and vegetating.
You know?
So
exactly.
We have to, so.
And so you need to get the, you need to do the basics right, you know, the website, social media, just the sales pipeline. Have a clean gym, you know. And then you want to focus on the beginners. You don't need you don't need to be a world-class athlete, world-class instructor. You just need consistency. You have to know, you know, provide a consistent experience, and then go from there. You can, and then only then can you add more things like advanced class, randori only class, competitions, and anything else. I think we covered a lot, but I think the interview with Jimmy stirred up a lot of, you know, conversations. Anything else we missed? Like, did you see any comments that you wanted to address? Because I saw, we did the two-year randori thing.
I think Judo community building stuff is important. You know, but I think a lot of the pitfalls when the teacher or the head guy gets fulfillment of their social need through their gym, then it could be a problem.
I see.
Right?
Because the
and I've been through it because. In my when you were there, I was in my 20s.
Right.
So I had my black belt friends who would come and train. We would go out to eat afterwards or go out and drink afterwards. Right?
Yeah.
And there's a segment of time that you could kind of do that, right?
Yeah.
But it can't be a forever thing because that's always not a good look. The sensei should go there to teach and to serve their students and have a service-based business.
Yeah.
Right? That place cannot serve the needs of their sensei. Like, I shouldn't be pulling from that gym.
Because you're like playing flight favorites now a little bit, I guess.
And that, and you know, the dating pool should be outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's Hinge for that.
Yeah.
There's Tinder for that.
Yeah.
There's the museums in New York City for that. You know what I mean? Right?
So you
know what I'm saying?
So
but you have to have a community. And you have to push to build that community amongst the students themselves. Right?
Yeah. You're already telling me about this. You've been telling me about like how, you know, there's a crop of, you know, green belts and brown belts that go out to hang out, kind of like how we used to do after class. You have to encourage that, but you don't necessarily have to try to, you can still have your OG member friends. I mean, when I go, we go out, you know? And then they're all like Eugene and Adam, they all still come and you guys can hang out, but it's not like, oh, you have to be always at the center of all these social events. You
don't
want to,
first of all, you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And second of all, you should just foster an environment for them to be able to have those things.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't micromanage it, but you have to also make sure that they know that, like, hey, there's certain things that are not acceptable, right?
Microaggression, you know, and
try not to date in the gym.
Yeah.
Try not to date in the gym. All these things like should be sort of explicitly said or implied.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like friends are like, even at Essentials, like I go now, I have a couple of friends there that I like share memes with and talk to and part of group chats.
Yeah.
So now if I'm not there, they're going to be like, where were you?
Yeah.
With no intervention from JT or his wife.
Yeah.
Who are the owners of the gym.
Right.
Sometimes the general manager, Marcus, is like, yo, where you been? Right? Sometimes the teacher, Dom Joni, like, yo, where's my uke?
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's the purple belts in the class that I train with, right?
Yeah.
So they have this environment that's friendly and comfortable for me to be there all the time and talk to everyone, you know? So now all of a sudden, those community people bring me back if I stray, if I ever stray. If I start doing ballet, which I started doing ballet on Tuesdays at 10 a.m., and, you know, that's
Wait, you're doing ballet again now?
No, I started doing it maybe like 5 or 6 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Because the ballet studio at my kid's gym. My kid's ballet studio. They hired a new woman to teach the beginner adult class at 10 a.m.
Oh, okay.
And it was the exact same time as jiu-jitsu.
Oh.
And I was kind of getting a little bit stiff. I was like, you know what? Let me try to inquire about it.
Yeah.
And they like sold me on it.
They did the whole, you know, hey, come
in.
Yeah,
I bought a 10-pack class. Yeah. It was like $200 for 20 classes. Okay. Or 10 classes.
Yeah.
And then I started going and I did like four classes and I was just like, you know, I like jiu-jitsu better. But I just see. Quit.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I see.
Yeah. But if there were more people there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was just me and the lady.
You know? They're just like, okay, it's like a start of the, I mean, she just has to go through it and then build up her own proper beginners.
Yeah,
right?
But I wasn't getting the vibes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, she wasn't hustling. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't so flirty.
No,
I'm kidding.
Dirty dog.
No, but I was going in the beginning. It was fun and it was friendly and it was cool, but it was just me and her.
Yeah.
And then I could tell sometimes she would show up and be like,
disappointed.
I know, because I'm in the game, right?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm here for just one person again.
Yeah.
You know? And then another time I showed up, it was like me and two really old ladies who didn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And now my experience is like now she's only doing super basic stuff, which
it's
I can bolster with my sleep.
Yeah.
Wasn't consistent, not enough of a community, all the different things. And then I stopped going 2 weeks in a row and no one reached out to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's no one said this is going to be easy to grow your, but you just have to keep going and then be consistent. I don't know. What would you say? Like, what would you have done in that situation? Like, if you're just starting out your beginner's class and.
Yeah, ballet?
Not even ballet. Like, you could see that. Like, one young guy shows up and then two old ladies. You're trying to teach judo. Completely different physical levels, you know. What do you even do there? Like
it's tough. Yeah, that's why you have to have a dedicated beginner class, and you got to teach those two.
Yeah,
like you're teaching a class of 20 people, and you have to be excited about it.
Excited, okay.
Because they're coming for your energy.
Yeah, I see.
And you know, there's people who are great actors, people who could pretend.
Yeah.
To love it, even when they hate it.
Yeah.
I'm not really good at that. Right? But you have to play the game, right? Because you're selling a service. You're selling a feeling. You're selling, like, your life's going to be better if you do judo, right? And then you show up and you're like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. I got to talk to these two
players. Well, I don't want to be there either.
Do Kemi for 20 minutes and maybe I'll show you a takedown.
Oh, man.
That's not going to work for anybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
It's tough, but you just have to play the game. Yeah. Yeah.
Play the game. You know?
All right.
Yeah. Well, you guys who are listening, can find me on Instagram, reach out to me, and if I'm in a good mood, I'll respond, and then, you know, hopefully I can help you guys, because I want to help the community.
Yeah.
I really want to grow grappling in the United States, you know, judo especially, and like I told you, if you're doing judo now, and you want to grow, partner up with the local jiu-jitsu school, offer your services, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these jiu-jitsu schools, who are sort of mid-tier to mega gyms, having 200-plus members, they have the funds to pay their instructors.
Yeah.
What is it? Ask them. You pay $30 a class, you pay $40 a class, some pay $50 a class, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I would love to be there and teach for you, right?
Yeah.
Or even walk in and say, hey, can I teach once a week for free for a month, right? On Thursday nights. See if it happens. Maybe it'll help everybody. Cater your judo instruction to the jiu-jitsu people, because you always have to teach to your demographic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then maybe judo starts growing from there. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right? We gotta save judo, everybody.
Yeah. And another good way to kind of bounce different ideas off each other is to support us on Patreon and join our Discord server. Yeah. People are already having conversations. I try to help out as much as I can too. But already there's kind of a community going on there with like different ideas being shared, like on how to grow their gyms. So do that. Yeah.
I'm not on there so much, but you know.
Oh, you too. You gotta be on it, man. Come on, you gotta. You're already that old sensei, just like
I am. Yeah, I'm not listening to my own advice. You know.
Well, anyway, anything else? I thought it was a good episode. We covered a lot.
Thank you guys for listening. It was a long one today.
Yeah,
very long.
You might have to break it up into before class and after class.
Guys, have a dedicated beginner class.
Yeah.
Right. And your job is to get on the phones and sell.
Yeah.
Watch Boiler Room. Watch Wolf of Wall Street. Get on the phone. Hey, can I get you to come to judo today? Yes or no? What's stopping you?
Sell
get excited.
Sell that pen.
Sell the gi. Forget the pen. No one wants a pen. Yeah. Why do you want to do judo?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
What do you need? You need a backbone? You want to grow a set of balls? Like, what is it?
Yeah. And
come in. I'll help you.
This is not to dilute judo. If you...
No.
If we don't do this, there's no judo to dilute. You know?
There's no judo to dilute.
Yeah, so don't even worry about it.
And if you're listening to this, and if you can just believe me and have a contract and be consistent and sell on the phone and get people in the room and you have a 200-person dojo, call me and I'll do a seminar at your gym.
Yeah.
And now there's more judo money in the judo community and we can help each other more.
Yeah.
Right, and then your students will go off and start gyms and give you a 7% franchising fee or whatever it is, or maybe they do their promotions through you. There's many, many different ways to set these terms and make these agreements, and a lot of them are difficult, and people will screw you over because sometimes there's that's the money. Nature of some people, right? And there's money involved, right?
Yeah.
But how else are we going to grow the sport?
Yeah. There's this is how we talked about this before, like what can you do right now for judo? Keep the money in the community.
Yeah.
And then we can grow wealth together.
Sell
again.
Judo, dude.
Yeah.
Do you feel safe walking in the streets of New York City? How do you feel on the subway every day? Do you want to be stronger, yes or no?
Yeah.
How long have you wanted to be strong? Tell me.
All my life.
For your whole life?
Yeah.
Your whole life. All right. Why don't you come in 6:30 on Monday, KBI. I'll see you there. I'm going to change your life. Maybe not in those exact words, right? And when they don't show up, hey, where were you? We were waiting for you. We had a gi ready for you and everything. Coming through the door, hey, welcome to our dedicated beginner program.
Yeah.
You take 10 classes. This is the rotated curriculum. You get a yellow belt, and you can join the intermediate class, and you can throw down.
Yeah.
Really start fighting.
And you
can. Does this work in the streets? Of course it does.
Yeah. Dude, no one will touch you. You can already tell from the looks.
Let's do this. Do you want to get in shape? Yes, you do. Okay, here's the contract. You have to commit to me for 6 months. I'll commit to you for 6 months.
Yeah.
For 6 months, I'm going to make sure you're in these doors every day training.
Right? Yeah.
Because that's what you want, and that's what I want for you.
Mm.
Let's do this. Yeah.
Guys, this just reminded me of like one time I got suckered into buying a private personal trainer at New York Sports Club. They sat me down in an office, man. I was just like, okay. Oh, shit. Yeah. I'll buy 10 pack right now. Because I fucking pay that, I woke my ass up at 6 a.m. to drag my ass to the gym at 7 a.m.
Yeah, there you go.
Before work.
Yeah.
Guys, it works. I didn't feel great about it.
No.
But I went.
Yeah.
But some people will probably feel great about it. And that's what we want, you know?
Yes. Yeah. That's what we want, man.
Yeah.
We all want to grow judo. We all want to grow jiu-jitsu. We all love doing this. We have to sell it.
Yeah.
Right? This is how you sell it. You know?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right. I think we've emphasized enough. I think people get the idea. I mean, comment down below.
Let me tell you about judo today. Right now. Yeah. Why not now?
Yeah. Why not now? And
let's
sell it. Keep growing it, you know?
Oh, well, you know, I want to think about it. What's there to think about? What's going to change now and 2 weeks, like, 1 month later, 2 months later?
That's exactly what happened at New York Sports Club.
Yeah. Why
in that
not
salesperson
now?
Room.
And then you circle back and say, didn't you say you wanted to be in shape for 10 years? Didn't you say you moved to New York City 3 years ago and you still don't feel safe?
Yeah.
Why not today, dude? You've been waiting for 3 years. Today's the day to start.
That salesperson just kind of assumed that I was going to buy it. I was like, all right, hey, so okay, what's the deal? How many do you want?
Yeah.
How many sessions do you want?
When do you want to start?
Yeah.
I'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, I was
have
like,
a gi ready for you and everything. Here it is. Take it home. What's your credit card information?
That's exactly what happened. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not saying, we're not saying like scam people, we're joking around, but you know what we're trying to say, right,
I don't
guys?
Ever
you know?
Do this at all, actually,
yeah. Jen. Yeah. You guys, I think everyone's in the alt tier. Everyone knows what we're talking about. We're kind of joking, but the point stands that you need infrastructure, online presence, beginner class, and then you can add more stuff.
Yeah, and Norandori.
You can Norandori. It's a beginner class. Not everyone needs it, and you can, if you need the infrastructure, you don't have the means to establish, reach out to your local BJJ schools that do have the infrastructure. They could help you out, and you can kind of go from there.
Yeah.
You know. All right, guys. All right, that's it.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Let me tell you about our Patreon program. Like,
Support us.
All right, bye, guys.